The opinions expressed in this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the ownership, management, or staff of Sunrise Broadcasting and its sponsors.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Let's Talk Orange County Chamber of Commerce Business, the program that highlights the Orange County Chamber business community and the resources available to both business owners and individuals, all designed to help grow our local economy. Now, let's join our hosts, Bob DeFelice and Lynn Cione, president of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce.
Hey, good morning, Orange County. With us this morning, Barbara Martinez, none other. Barbara, how are you?
I'm great, Bob. Good morning.
It is a good morning. Mm-hmm. Actually, a great morning because of our guest.
It is, yes.
Yes, let's introduce Lisa Silverstone. She is Executive Director of Safe Harbors of the Hudson. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Lisa.
It's awesome to have you here.
I love her.
It's awesome to be here. I love you, too. It's a mutual admiration society.
See, did you bring cupcakes?
Oh,
just kidding.
Not today.
No. Okay.
Next time.
We're going to talk about that. That's coming up. But I want to talk, certainly we're going to talk about Safe Harbors of the Hudson. Someone may not know, I would be shocked, but what is Safe Harbors of the Hudson?
Safe Harbors of the Hudson is so many things. Mm-hmm. We are a housing and arts redevelopment project. That's kind of the pithy way of saying it, in downtown Newburgh on the corner of Liberty and Broadway. We own and operate the Cornerstone Residence, which is supportive housing for 128 of our neighbors, including veterans and those coming from homelessness and people living with mental health diagnoses and physical disabilities and low-income working adults. It's a supportive environment. We work with our partners Independent Living, who provide case management on site. We have a wonderful GED program and college prep program and all sorts of programs and events, and really build a community of support around our resident population. So that's the biggest part of our project and the first piece of our project. Then we have the wonderful Ann Street Gallery, which is our contemporary arts venue. That is open and free and accessible for everybody in the community Wednesdays through Saturday. Rotating exhibitions, artwork from across the country and around the globe. It's an amazing asset in downtown Newburgh.
It's a fabulous location.
Yeah,
fabulous.
It really is. On Ann Street, right on the back of the building.
Beautiful.
It is. It's an incredible space. We have a professional curator that curates all of our exhibitions, and she's just astounding. We have the lobby at the Ritz, which is our performance venue.
Yes.
It was the original lobby to the historic Ritz Theater, which is still sort of under restoration right now. But for now, we were able to renovate the lobby, and we have performances pretty much every month there, sometimes multiple times a month, dance, music, drama, poetry slams. We have all sorts of cultural and performance events in that space.
How
the
cool.
Ritz is awesome. Every time she talks about it, I get chills.
I know.
And
what
now,
history.
Yeah, it is great history, and it's kind of it's a great project because we're building on that history, but making it relevant for today.
Sure.
You know, we're growing and changing, and what we offer is different and really reflective of our community. So it's an exciting project. And in 2016, we were able to build a beautiful park adjacent to our project, which was a vacant lot for decades, if you both recall, I'm sure.
Sure.
And now it's a beautiful ADA accessible, solar lit, you know, environmentally sustainable park space.
Oh, it really is. Mm-hmm. And we were talking off air earlier, easy for me to say. The beautiful
the mural.
Yeah.
And the
pictures on the building.
Really, art is woven into pretty much everything we do at Safe Harbors, and that large scale public art is it's really become an iconic facade in the city of Newburgh. It has just this wonderful feeling of hope and vitality, like something's going on. When you see artwork at that scale, you kind of get the sense that there's a vital downtown happening.
Oh, it's big.
So, yeah, it is. It's, I think the mural is 60 feet high. So the mural was done by a mural artist from Chile named Dasik Fernandez, and that was an incredible, it's all spray paint. He did it in about 2 weeks, and it was a great project. And the portraits are all of residents of the city of Newburgh, or used to be. They were taken in the 1980s by a photographer named Dimitri Castrine, who lives across the river, but took a real shining to the city of Newburgh and started taking those portraits many years ago, and then saw the facade of our building as the perfect canvas for his installation. So they've been up for about 4 years now.
That was an excellent choice and a great idea. I think it gives it such a nice Soho look.
Yeah, it really does. It makes it's interesting. It's a conversation piece. And like Barbara and I were saying earlier, people walk by and recognize themselves or recognize their mom. Hey, that's my mom. Or or often, you know, they ask, how can I get up on that wall? So it's really become sort of a nice, like I said, it's an iconic piece.
And creates
it's
a connection.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Connects with community.
Right?
Let's talk about Safe Harbors. How did you get your start? How did the organization come to be? You're housing
128 single individuals. And the project came about in 2000. In 2000, Safe Harbors Incorporated, with the mission of transforming lives and building community through housing and the arts. And that was brought together by a young woman, she's still a young woman, but she was quite young at the time, Trisha Haggerty-Wenz. And she was doing she was getting a master's degree in social work from NYU, and she was doing some field work in the city of Newburgh. And she came across this place called the Hotel Newburgh. And the hotel had once been a beautiful, vibrant destination in our city with a theater and restaurant and a Sears. It was great. But as the city went into decline, unfortunately, so too did the hotel. And people were just living there in deplorable conditions. And she came across these people living in these terrible conditions. And she thought, we've got to do something about this. We can do better for people in our community. So she had a sister-in-law who worked in New York City for an organization called Common Ground, who had for many years been at the forefront of addressing issues of homelessness and housing disparity. And so she was able to partner with them. And in 2002, we purchased the Hotel Newburgh. We immediately started making improvements and putting in security and just making the building cleaner and a safer place for people to be. And in 2004, we were awarded $21 million in tax credits and other state and local funding and did a complete gut rehab of the building.
Fantastic.
Nobody was displaced, which is really important to us and should be to everybody. You know, we can make our communities better for everybody. We don't have to move anybody out. So nobody was displaced. They were checkerboarded around the building. And in 2006, they were all 128, were settled into their new, beautiful new apartments. And we cut the ribbon on the cornerstone. So that's kind of the story of how it started. And the arts, always from day one, like I said, from the mission, were an integral part of the project, because the idea is, if you really want to have a transformative impact in a community, housing is great, but what are you going to do to engage people? So like you said, the public artwork just on the outside of the building, the Ann Street Gallery, the concerts, the public concerts that we have outside, and so many of the events that we have really create a connection with our community. So there's no stigma. There's no, oh, that's where homeless people live. No, this is where I come to see a concert.
Right.
And this is where I come to have a cup of coffee or sit in a park.
Mm-hmm. There's also, I notice whenever I pass by, a bustle of activity, good, positive activity. Yeah. People, you know, there's a new coffee shop.
Yep, Two Alices is our tenant.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Great place to get a cup of coffee and escape a little bit. It feels like Soho when you walk in there.
You go around and there's the warehouse and the Little Liberty Street Bistro. I mean, it's just so many things going on in that area.
Yeah, good activity. The college is just down the block, too, on Grand Street. It's just a wonderful
Washington's headquarters.
That's right. Yeah. So good stuff.
Yeah.
Lisa, how did you get involved?
Well, I was friends with Trisha, the founding executive director. Our kids grew up together in Cornwall and Hudson. And she actually helped to get me a job in the city of Newburgh. And I was the executive director of the Historical Society of Newburgh Bay and the Highlands, which is another wonderful asset in our city, a little further north on Montgomery Street in the heart of the historic downtown. And I started there, and I was working there for almost 7 years. And Trisha was moving to Connecticut, had moved to Connecticut. And her board and herself realized, you know, she kind of needed a succession plan. She was moving and getting more and more involved in Hartford. And so I applied for the position and got it in 2012. So I came in under Trisha for the first year and a half. We worked together. She taught me a heck of a lot. It was a very steep learning curve. You know, that's a big project. A lot of moving parts. And then in 2013, I became the executive director, and she worked with us on a consultant basis for a while. And that's how it all happened.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
Now, you guys, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Let's Talk Orange County Chamber of Commerce Business, myself and Barbara Martinez, along with you. And our guest this morning, Lisa Silverstone, Executive Director, Safe Harbors of the Hudson. What's your email, not email address, but website address? What's your website address?
safeharborsofthehudson.org.
Safeharborsofthehudson.org.
Right.
And it's very easy to find if you type in safe harbors.
If you just type in, I think it's the first thing that typically comes up. Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's a contact us button on there, and you can shoot us an email anytime, and we're quite responsive. So if you have an interest in volunteering in any of our upcoming events, you know, or just have any questions, you know.
It's a very user-friendly website. I've maneuvered it and moved around, and, you know, just you get to see all the projects that they're involved in. And it's actually very inspirational, all the things that are... That goes on with the Safe Harbors, even the tours that you guys put together.
Yeah, we do have monthly tours, and outside of the things that we already talked about, the lobby at the Ritz and the Ann Street Gallery, we also have a lot of community programming. You know, we have actually on Saturday night we have a Brazilian quartet playing. We have a community cleanup every year. We have a 5K, and for a few years in a row, we had a half marathon. So there's a lot of events
that
happen.
You do a lot of fundraising.
A lot of fundraising, and a lot of those are not fun. The run is a fundraiser, but a lot of those events we fundraise so that we can have these wonderful community events.
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
And to tie in with the community. Let's talk about the housing aspect for a minute. Do you have vacancies? How do you find people that need a place to live? How does that all work?
I believe we're currently rented up, and we do have a wait list, but if anybody is interested in housing, you go on our website and there's your application. That's kind of the first portal into the residence. Also, people who don't have access to the internet, we do have a security office that's open 24/7, and there are always applications there too at 111 Broadway. So that's kind of your first gateway into the project, is to get yourself an application. And that happens very often, just people hear of us and they are income eligible. You do have to be income eligible to live in the building, which means you can't make more than 50% of our area median income. And very often we get referrals from Department of Social Services. We work with WestCop, who helps us identify veterans in our community in need of housing. We work with our local shelters and transitional housing organizations in the community that refer to us. So a lot of the residents come to us through referral, Office of Mental Health referral, and a lot just come from hearing about us. They just, you know, are adults in need of affordable, beautiful housing.
Yes. Let's talk about your organization. You're a not-for-profit, so you rely, I would imagine, on volunteers.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so let's talk about your volunteers.
Absolutely. Because we have so many events, we really do rely heavily on our volunteers to help us out. We have volunteers that work very consistently in our gallery. We have interns that come through the gallery and help during the day-to-day operations of the gallery and help our curator. We have volunteers who help on the nights of the opening events. We have art openings five times a year, so we're always looking for volunteers for those events. We always have volunteers at our concert series, so taking tickets, kind of ushering volunteers, and concession volunteers. We actually have volunteers that help us occasionally with our park maintenance. Now that we have our beautiful new park, we do have somebody that does the kind of overall stewardship, but we do occasionally ask for the community input. We weeding and mulching and doing some big projects on the park. There's also opportunities for people to help with our resident population. We have tutors that help with our GED program. We have people that work in our library to keep our library open.
You have a library?
We have a beautiful library in the building. Okay. We have a gym, a fitness center.
You have a gym?
Yes, we do. I forgot how. There's so much. And we have a wellness program. So four nights a week, we do have Zumba. We have wellness. So it's Zumba. It's my favorite is DYBO, dance your butts off. Not a double T butt, but a BUT, like get rid of your inhibitions. There's wonderful wellness programming, and that is free for our residents, but anybody in the community is welcome to come to those programs too. So volunteers, when we have our run, we have so many volunteers. Our community cleanup brings about 350 volunteers out every year to clean up the city streets.
How blown is your mind right now, right?
Who knew this? Who knew?
It's a lot going on.
A lot going on. Yeah. What's your address?
111 Broadway.
Right at 111 Broadway.
Right at 111.
In the city of Newburgh, the beautiful city of Newburgh. And you know what? Believe it or not, we're halfway through. We're going to take a quick time out and come back with more with Let's Talk Orange County Chamber of Commerce Business.
Hey guys, wearing suits and looking sharp? It's what we do. Well, us weekend warriors anyway. I have to tell you what's really helped me look my best. It's having a master tailor in my corner. And you can too. Master Tailor Roy Thompson. He owns the all-new Fuller Men's Shop. So if you want to look and feel your best, just like royalty, head over and see Roy. Roy is really a nice guy. He can not only take in or out those old suits that still have some life left, but he's also got all of today's popular brands at fair prices, in every size and color. Shirts, suits, shoes, belts, sweaters, casual and formal, tuxes, ties. Hey, he even showed me how to tie a bow tie. You owe it to yourself to try. As they say, go to Fuller's and feel all right. You're located next to Hobby Lobby in the Walk Hill Plaza, Route 211 East, Middletown, and online at FullerMenshop.com.
The opinions expressed in this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the ownership, management, or staff of Sunrise Broadcasting and its sponsors.
You're listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk Orange County Chamber of Commerce Business, the program that highlights the Orange County Chamber business community and the resources available to both business owners and individuals, all designed to help grow our local economy. Now, let's join our hosts, Bob DeFelice and Lynn Cione, president of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce.
And of course, Barbara Martinez in the house for Lynn. And Barbara, always a fun time when we get together.
Yes, it is. Always a fun time.
Talking Orange County Chamber of Commerce business. Mm-hmm. And Lisa Silverstone with us, Executive Director of Safe Harbors of the Hudson, learning so much about your project down there. And it's multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And we're just so thankful that you're here in the city of Newburgh and doing a wonderful work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and speak about it as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so cool. So we were just, I was so in Cavill, we were talking about Safe Harbors. Safe-harbors.org, mm-hmm. or just Google Safe Harbors of the Hudson Valley. You're going to find all of the wonderful things going on. You were talking about the park that's just been done on the side.
Yep.
The beautiful murals, mm-hmm. The housing. Any plans for more housing in the city?
Actually, Bob, mm-hmm. We have recently partnered with a affordable housing developer out of Kingston called RUPCO, R-U-P-C-O, and they do absolutely incredible work up in Ulster. This is their first foray into Orange County, and we're very proud to be partnering with them on a rehab project. So it's 47 units of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments in 15 buildings.
Wow.
Right in downtown Newburgh. It's called the Land Bank area. I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar, but just north of Broadway between Chambers and Du Bois to south. So just very close to where we are. RUPCO has purchased 15 buildings. And the exciting thing is these are old homes that have fallen into disrepair and all of them actually abandoned and falling in on themselves.
Sure.
And RUPCO has taken on an actual and a historic rehabilitation of these homes. So not only are they being renovated, they are being renovated to historic preservation standards.
They have
literally set up a mill shop in one of the houses where they are doing the carving of the balustrades and the mantelpieces,
wow.
and the moldings. It's an incredible.
They don't do things like that anymore.
And you know,
that's amazing.
Again, it's so important that low income should never mean low quality or
right.
less than.
That's true.
Affordable can be good and
yes.
quality, and it should be. So
and it instills pride.
Of course.
The owner.
And it creates a beautiful community.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, like I said, very proud to be partnering with them. And our role is we are going to be managing those properties for them. This is new for us. We've owned and operated our own building and managed our own building, but we've never kind of dipped out of our own footprint.
Sure.
So we will be doing all of the lease up and management for that. So we're really excited also to extend our own innovative management style and model into the city of Newburgh, mm-hmm. and really increase our own impact of the work that we're doing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Beautify the city at the same time.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. And like you mentioned before, the city of Newburgh has incredible bones.
Yep.
And all these brownstones and all these historical buildings and just the loveliness that's hidden underneath, you
right.
know, the rubble, but now to be restored again.
Yeah. And you know, the mayor, Mayor Judy Kennedy, she really had as a goal that rather than building new, Let's build what we have. Let's restore what we have. And I think it's so important because it revitalizes these beautiful old neighborhoods.
That's right.
Rather than kind of sprawling out or building new, we're kind of putting ourselves back in and creating our urban centers and rebuilding our urban centers, which I just think is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And I applaud RUPCO because it's not easy.
No.
It's easier to slap something new. And a lot of new construction is absolutely beautiful. But to undertake a historic rehabilitation in downtown Newburgh is kind of unique and very exciting.
It is exciting. And Barbara, as you said earlier, it instills pride.
Yeah.
Not only of those who will be living, but just all of us that live, work, and run around the city of Newburgh. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful, beautiful place, and you're making it even more beautiful, exactly. So we thank you.
And it really does bring more investment to our community. Well, so if we're creating beautiful, historic, renovated homes for low-income folks, well, then market rate soon follows.
That's
and
right.
then you
right.
have a healthy community.
Let's talk about a couple of other things that we touched on earlier. You have a beautiful gallery, the Ann Street Gallery.
Do.
You do art shows there, so the general public is welcome
absolutely.
When you do your shows.
Absolutely. We have 5 exhibitions a year there. As I mentioned, we do have a professional director of the gallery and curator. It is her purview, and she puts together amazing shows. They are typically multi-artist shows, group shows. And they're typically around a theme. So currently in the gallery, it's called Color. I think it's just called Color. And if you were in the gallery, you would know exactly why. It's just an incredibly vibrant color on these white walls, and it's just really splendid. The gallery, as I mentioned, is open and free for anybody in our community or outside, anybody to come in. And those exhibition openings, which happen when we have a gallery opening, the artists are typically present. It's a wine and cheese reception. Those are free as well. And they happen during, at the beginning of the 5 exhibitions.
Plenty of parking across the street.
Plenty of parking right across the street in the
Ann
Street
Gallery.
And when
you walk in, the way they set up this gallery, it is like such, everything's so fresh looking, the walls, everything's so clean looking that when you do put an artist in there, it does pop.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a really beautiful, just blank canvas for the art to speak for itself.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And what's kind of neat, an upcoming event that we have. So even though the gallery is open and it's free and it's accessible, galleries can sometimes be intimidating places, right? You kind of look in and it's white, and sometimes the art is weird. Quote, I'm using air quotes now for your listeners. It's not always what people are used to seeing when it's contemporary art. And sometimes they feel like that's not where I belong. So we've really been working hard to make the gallery an accessible place where people feel like, no, you do belong. Everybody belongs.
Yeah.
Come and just open your mind and open your eyes and see something new. And it doesn't have to make sense to you.
Right.
Just enjoy it.
Sure.
So we've started having each year a community paint-in. So we cover the walls of the gallery in canvas. We fly the doors open, and we actually open. There's a big garage door next to it that opens up onto our studio, our artist studio spaces, which is another thing that I can talk about. And we have hot dogs and hamburgers and sort of picnic going on. And the community comes in and paints their own artwork.
That's cool.
And those pieces that are painted, some of them there's outlines, so people who prefer to have something that they can paint.
That would be me.
We have, for you, Barbara, we have artists come.
Color by number?
Color by number, kind of. And then there's free canvas where people can just do what they want. And then those works are on display in the gallery as an exhibition. And this year, they're going out to our community. So there'll be some in the library, Washington's headquarters. Mm-hmm. So they'll be displayed in our community. So this is people creating artwork. Which,
that's cool.
And now they feel like, oh, that's where I created something. I belong there. I can go there.
Yeah.
So, hey, before we run out of time, I want to ask you about the Ritz Theater.
Sure.
What goes on with that? I understand it's a pretty historic building.
It is a wonderfully historic building. It was built in... Barbara's got the chills.
I got a big
one. She's getting the goosebumps.
She's getting the goosebumps.
I love the story.
She's the theater was built in 1913 as Cohen's Opera House. It was a 1,200-seat double balcony theater with 4 stories of fly space. I mean, you could literally do Miss Saigon in theater. It's big. Over time, it's been carved up, and I can get to that, but it had an incredible run as a performing arts space. This is Barbara's favorite story, but Lucille Ball actually made her debut performance there just after Pearl Harbor in December 1942. I always forget, isn't that terrible? Right after Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And And that show she did for, like I said, her debut performance, and she performed with her then new husband, Desi Arnaz, mm-hmm. and they did a little sketch comedy, which went on to become the I Love Lucy show. Mm-hmm. And in 2007, cue the chills, Barbara, in 2007, oh, cool. Safe Harbors was awarded by Parade Magazine, Little Known Places History Was Made, as the birthplace wow. of the I Love Lucy show. So that was a really, that's a fun
that
Newberg.
Fabulous
that's
story.
A fun Newberg
that's
fact.
Big.
Story.
That's cool.
Frank Sinatra performed there when yeah. he was about 18 years old with the Tommy Dorsey Band, Ella Fitzgerald, Red Skelton. All the big performers yeah. Performed there when it became the Ritz. In 1932, it became the Ritz. And the owner, Eugene Levy, whose descendants are still here in the city of Newburg, he linked it with the Paramount. And that's really when it hit its heyday.
Oh, cool.
Because it became a roadhouse for these large productions. So in as time went on, the theater was carved up into a multiplex cinema. It was, you know, in one of the most notorious buildings in the city of Newburgh at the time. It didn't stay open very long. It devolved far from its roots. And it's been abandoned since 1999. When we purchased the building, Tricia, the founding executive director, was walking around with a developer who said, "Oh, you can get another 22 units of housing in there." And she said, "Oh no, we have to save this
cool.
for a theater." So yeah. He walked away and said, "I'm not interested." and she made it her goal right then to save that theater. And we now just received $500,000 from the state of New York. And we are putting a brand new roof on the theater, which is really step one to stabilizing yes. the building. And our, you know, our goal now is to renovate it as kind of a performing arts, multi-use, multi-venue performing arts space for the community.
I'm excited. Cool.
What a treasure. Mm-hmm. What a treasure it is. And you know what? Believe it or not, we're almost out of time. But I want to thank you so much, Lisa,
for
coming and educating us as to what you've got going on.
Thank you.
There.
I really appreciate the time. Can I put a quick plug in for our gala?
Please do.
Very quickly. Safe Harbor's biggest annual fundraiser is our annual gala. It will be Wednesday, September 27th on the park at 6 p.m. We are proud to be honoring Bill and Mary Murphy as our community champions and Central Hudson as our corporate good neighbors. So I hope you can come out for that event. Tickets are still available and you can get them online.
Now, where is it? On the park?
On the park, outside under a tent right and there. Twinkly lights. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And that's next Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday the 27th at 6 p.m. Tickets
okay.
still available.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. And go online to your website.
Go online to our website. And you have to scroll around a little bit, but like Barbara said, it's pretty user-friendly.
It's pretty user-friendly.
It'll be under events, upcoming events, cool. purchase tickets, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Lisa.
Great. Thank you so much, Bob, and thank you, Barbara.
Barbara,
yes.
What in the world? The chamber always doing something. What yeah. in the world you got going on?
Well, we have on Monday, what? We have our golf outing.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. It's the 19th annual Orange Open, and this year we're swinging with honor. So we're helping honor,
yeah.
helping others needing our resources, you know, provide for the community. And so that's what we're doing on Monday. So if you haven't gotten your tickets for a foursome, I think there's still some room for that, but there's definitely rooms for dinner. So if you're not a golfer, but you want to have dinner, you want to come hang out with us
come
and honor
dinner.
And help for a good cause, come have dinner. You can just go to orangeopen2017.eventbrite.com, or you can just come to, I'm told by Aaron, you can just show up.
Just come.
Buy a dinner ticket and hang out with us. It's
going to
be under the beautiful tent at West Hills Country Club in the town of Walk Hill.
Excellent.
So, and that's going to be, I think, 6 o'clock.
Okay, dinner.
Dinner.
We'll meet you there.
Yes.
Awesome. What else? Anything else?
We have, Fox on Radio is putting on their Just for Her event.
That's right.
On October 4th.
That's
and
true.
This year, what we're doing is with the MWBE, which is Minority and Women in Business, we're doing a panel discussion before your networking event.
Yes.
So from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., this is going to be sponsored by M&T Bank. We are going to have a panel discussion of very inspiring women. They're going to be talking about their journeys and how they became, you know, CEOs and founders of organizations. It's going to be moderated by Jonna Spilbore.
Yeah.
And we're going to have Pamela Raich from Pamela's on the Hudson.
Yes.
And we're going to have Debbie Major from Xylophone, Zylophone. Kim Imholtz from KVI Uniforms, Lisa Ferreira from Superior Mortgage, and Judith Papel from Legal Shred.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
So it's going to be a fun event. And then after that, after this discussion, then you got your Just for Her networking
time.
Event.
Oh,
yes.
it's grown. It keeps growing.
Yeah.
What a great... And
the venue. The yeah. venue at the Otterkill, the Country Club at Otterkill, 100 Otter Road in Campbell Hall.
That's
they
right.
did so many renovations and updates to it. It's such a lovely
it's
location.
It's beautiful. It really is gorgeous. They're doing weddings now. It's a really gorgeous spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the best part of all, what? Barbara, is that it's to benefit Safe Homes of Orange
mm-hmm.
County. So every dollar raised, if you come in for the mixer, the $5, it's just a donation.
Right.
You get your first glass of wine or beer for free. light fare, mm-hmm. and the $5, all of it goes to Safe Home. So get the word out.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to foxradio.net to get your tickets. It's $20. $20 is a full day event. So if you want to do the panel discussion, it's $15. And then the networking event is $5. But it's not, you don't have to do the whole thing. You can,
you could do one
whatever
of the,
you want. Hang out with us all day. It's going to be a great day. And like I said, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then the panel, the Just for Her Mixture, is from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Excellent. Very cool. All right. So we'll see you next month.
Next month.
Okay.
Have a nice weekend.
Bye-bye.
This has been Let's Talk. Let's Talk Orange County Chamber of Commerce Business, the program that highlights the Orange County Chamber business community and the resources available to both business owners and individuals, all created to help grow our local economy. Join our hosts, Bob DeFelice and Lynn Cione, president of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, the third Sunday of every month, right here on the Fox.